All right, this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls with Ellie Marzulli as we talk about The Great Deception and the Luciferian Endgame. So get ready, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Ellie Marzulli with us, George Norrie here, as we talk about the disclosure, the coming great deception. L.A., it's marvelous work you do, my friend.
Thank you, George. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Now, we're talking about the psychic who predicted something back about 5 years ago. Tell us about that.
It was unbelievable. So there I am in Vancouver at a UFO meetup group that Gordy Tong, the producer up there, he lined up all these people. I spoke to Dennis, who was a former pilot. The guy was extremely precise. He's in the film, talks about this encounter. This thing comes up, and it's a huge UFO, and it flies in formation with them for probably 7 minutes before it darts away. Similar to what Commander David Faber said, like a bullet out of a gun, just bam and gone. So the next person that was up was this woman. And she starts in, and she declares herself to be a psychic, working on her psychic abilities, this type of stuff. And she starts talking about her encounters. And I left it out of the film. I left it out of the first version of the film. I thought it was too far out. It was just, it just didn't work for me. So I'm listening to it. I'm actually, you know, previewing different clips for the remake of it. And lo and behold, what she's talking about, she talks about remote viewing, talking about channeling these entities, and she uses the whole ET scenario, which fit perfectly with Billy Crone's testimony. So it worked really well in the film. So then there's another clip right next to it. I'm in Final Cut Pro, and I'm looking at this thing, and I go, well, I wonder what she says here. So she starts in, and I just sit there, and I'm listening to her, and the hair on the back of my neck stands up.
Pops up.
And I just sit there and go, you've got to be kidding me. And I play it back two or three times to make sure, is she saying what I think she's saying? And of course, it's very plain, and she is, and it's in the film. I pixelated her face, and I kept her anonymous because I don't want, you know, and she doesn't want attention drawn to her. Here's the story as the best I know it. In 2004, she's up in a tent and trying to make contact in a way. So in the middle of the night, contact happens, and the tent is like blowing all over the place, massive wind. She goes outside of her tent. There's 60, 80-foot saucer directly over the thing, and the lights are going like bam, 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 all the way around the saucer, one at a time going on. She's bathed in light. That's all she remembers. Next morning she wakes up. There's two marks on her neck. Hello. And she has this download. And she shares the download with me in 2016. 2016, she tells me this, and this is what she said. The powers that be, meaning them, meaning what she thinks is ET, the powers that be are going to create some sort of a plague that's going to be worldwide, and everybody on the planet is going to have to get a vaccine, and it's going to change the DNA of the people.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just sitting there going like, and I do like a prequel to it, in the little set that I created, and I asked the viewer, I said, like, you know, how did she know this? And this is why the film is entitled The Luciferian Endgame, because look, if the biblical prophetic narrative is true, then we know that there's going to be some sort of a mark that's going to be on the back of the hand or on the forehead. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without this mark, and it will change the host's DNA. We know that. That's what we believe. And so here we are with this whole, you know, stuff going on with COVID and everything, and this alleged vaccine, from what I understand, is not a vaccine at all. It's some sort of a gene modifier. Whether that's true or not, and, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. I have to go by what other people are saying.
We're getting conflicts from all sides on this thing.
From all sides. And what is the truth? But that the psychic, and that's all in the film. That's all in the film disclosure. It wasn't in the first film. It is now. And it's when you see it, you know, you like, where did she get that information? Where did she get that information? And it was a download that she got in 2004. And when she told me this in 2016, I mean, I looked at her and said to myself, oh, my gosh, you've got to be kidding me, you know. And I didn't do anything with it. And here we are, you know, years later, and everything that she was told has basically come to pass.
Let's take some calls. You ready for more? Let's go to Mark in Baltimore, Maryland, to get us started. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. Mr. Marzulli, you do great work. I want to say thank you for that, first of all. I do want to say that. And I kind of have to want to think that good is going to always overcome evil. And these types of reptilian entities that you speak about, I would like to think that at the end of the day, if they wanted to do that type of irreparable harm, maybe they might have would have already. The thing with the six digits that you spoke about, that's called polydactylate. That's a new one on me, but of course, anything's possible. And also, Glenn Dennis, he did speak about the three coffins that he got a call for at his funeral home on the Roswell incident, and I believe that. And there's a lot that I put out there, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And plus, I look forward to seeing your film. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, you know, the whole thing with Roswell and the little bodies and all that. Look, I've always believed that Roswell was not a weather balloon.
Far from it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. And I've got two witnesses that. We left them out of this film. We're going to do something with that later on. But as I talked about in the first segment, Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. went to his grave defending his father's reputation and the fact that he handled the wreckage. Interestingly enough, I'm going to an undisclosed location. There's a gentleman that has in his possession some metal, and we've actually got samples of it, which are supposed to be tested in a lab this week.
Is that the stuff that kind of unfolds and folds back? That kind of metal?
I wish it was that. I wish it was that. This is something that was found in a field, and there's a story behind it. And until I know more about it and I see this and talk to the guy face-to-face, it's pretty much all I can say. But he gave us two strands of the metal, and we are in the process of getting it analyzed, so we'll see what happens with that.
Back to the little coffins. I mean, who would make that up?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and you remember, people were threatened. I mean, and everything that I've heard, and I know you have too, we've heard it all, that people were threatened by the powers that be. You know, you speak about this, and you'll never see the light of day again. And you know, those type of threats can carry a lot of weight to a father with a family or a wife or whatever. And so people were threatened, and they basically put the lid on it. I mean, I always thought the cover story was absolutely absurd. And when you look at Jesse Marcel Sr. looking at Ramey like, you know, you've got to be kidding me. This isn't holding the weather balloon for the, you know, the little photo shoot that they
did.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
And they did come out in the beginning, though, and say that they had retrieved a crashed flying saucer.
Yeah. And I'm going with the first story. That's what I'm going with.
First time caller, Joe in Massachusetts. Hello, Joseph. Go ahead.
L.A. and George. I'd like, since L.A. mentioned the Bible prophecy and the Antichrist, I'd like to ask George in L.A. if events speed up, will the Antichrist be appearing in 10, 20, or 30 years, or maybe more than 100? I really don't know. What's your opinion?
That's a great possibility. Who knows? But I don't think it's going to be that long, L.A. Do you?
I concur. I think we're right around the corner from it. I'm not a date setter. I'm not saying, you know, 2025 or anything else, but something is going on. And you got to remember, if what I believe is true, there are forces which are restraining. And this is also prophetic. It says that entity, that Antichrist, will not be revealed because the restrainer is holding him back. There's a force that's holding him back until the restrainer is taken out of the way, and then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist is revealed. All this is in prophetic literature. I mean, it's like right there. It's pretty straight ahead. So there is a restrainer. Yet we have to ask ourselves, why this cat-and-mouse game, which has gone on literally for decades, why don't they just appear on the White House lawn? Why is it always at nighttime that they abduct people, not always, but most of the time? You know, why the cat and mouse game? Why can't they just show up? And I believe, truly, that there are powers that are greater, that are literally holding them back until a certain time. And then this is why I call it the Luciferian endgame. Then all hell breaks loose, literally.
Next up, Thomas, La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And L.A., you always bring just the best research to the table. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. The Coast audience appreciates it.
A comment and then a question. You had brought up that, you know, we have our news media, which is now presenting unidentified aerial phenomena. Okay. But they're not talking, as you stated earlier in the interview, about hybridization or implants or abductions, that type of thing. But I wonder who is. Okay, it may not be CBS, it may not be Fox, it may not be Newsmax, okay, but who is? If you stop and think about it, it's Hollywood, okay? And stop and think about the last 30 years, you know, you have like Independence Day, which if you look at the history of Independence Day, the Pentagon tried to shut it down in the theaters, and Bill Clinton had to intervene. And, well, Independence Day presented the extraterrestrials in a very Luciferian light.
Mm-hmm, sure
you had movies like The Arrival, made 2 years before Contact, okay? And if you watch both films, you'll realize that Contact stole everything from The Arrival. The Arrival had Terry Polo and Charlie Sheen, also presented the extraterrestrials in a very Luciferian light. And it's interesting to me that it got co-opted 2 years later by the movie Contact. Or you had Chris Carter's The X-Files Fight the Future, also presenting the extraterrestrials in a pretty nasty light. And then you had two very big television shows in 2009. One was called V, okay, V as in Victor, mm-hmm. and yep. One was called The Event. And mm-hmm. both of them ran two seasons, and both were withdrawn by Hollywood because they said people weren't interested. But the fact was that that was not true. There were millions of viewers of V and millions of viewers of The Event. And what was the common denominator? They presented the extraterrestrials in a very Luciferian, reptilian, deceptive, you know, lens type of thing. Like, and even if you think about, you know, ancient mythology like Greece, you know, the gods and goddesses of Greece.
Sure.
And you think about Homer, a blind poet. But Homer was the Hollywood of his time, if you stop and think about it, and he was saying the same things. You know, like the gods and goddesses are not very nice people. They abduct, they hybridize, etc. You see where I'm going on this.
Nephil,
so I'm wondering if you would talk about, is there a soft disclosure? You know, Marshall McLuhan, 50 years ago, media expert, he used to say about Hollywood, culture is our business. Culture is our business. Are they trying to reveal the very nasty side of extraterrestrials, you know, what Jacques Vallée called messengers of deception
exactly.
in 1979?
Yep.
And
yep.
Is there a soft disclosure happening that gets shut down? You know, like V and The Event got pulled from TV, and Independence Day was almost shut down by the Pentagon. Bill Clinton had to intervene to get Independence Day, you know, he told the Pentagon to back off type of thing. Very interesting, you know, since Independence Day.
Almost again, out of time here, Tom.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. I think that the best films I've ever seen was a TV series called Taken by Spielberg. And that series lays out absolutely everything. And I believe it was they had inside information and they had a script and they went with it. And what's amazing is, guess what? The hybrid entity in the last couple of installments of that series Taken is this this little girl, and she has the ability to stop time. And something else is going on with this whole thing. She's a hybrid entity. And we see this throughout the entire film. There's this breeding process that goes on. I mean, they're taken. It's the whole thing. But there's a slight twist. Instead of the Antichrist being, you know, a man, it's a young girl. And that's the end of the series. But everything up to that point, I'm right in line with. I think it's the best series out there. And again, it presents these intruders, if you will, in a very negative light.
Don't forget, though, the classic Close Encounters of the Third Kind, L.A.
Yeah, fantastic film. Unbelievable.
And that was kind of uplifting, too, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I mean, in fact, I remember seeing that. I mean, I was the guy that I wanted to go there. This was before I became a Christian.
You would have gone on the ship.
Absolutely. And then my whole paradigm changed over a period of 10 years. And, you know, here we are. So I think that I agree with Jacques Vallée that these are messengers of deception. They lie and do so habitually. Just talk to any of the abductees. They're told one thing, and then it turns out to be a lie. So who is the father of lies? And, again, that goes back in the prophetic literature.
What makes you think they are dimensional?
Because they can manipulate space, time, matter, and energy, and we see that in throughout the biblical narrative. When the good guys appear, and I've talked this example on the show before. I'll just do it really quickly. So there's a guy in a jail cell. He's chained to a wall. There's two other people with him in the jail cell. His cell is locked. All of a sudden, this entity appears in the cell. The chains fall off of him. The door sill opens up. They go outside. All the guards who should be walking around are switched off. They're asleep. They're switched off. They go outside. The prison gate opens by itself, and they leave. Then the entity disappears. Well, that sounds so much like a so-called alien abduction. It's unbelievable. You know, manipulating the guards going to sleep, the chains fall off, all this kind of stuff. And we know that when you're taken, you can go through the window, the wall, the ceiling, doors open even though you've locked them. I mean, it's the same exact thing, except in the story I just told, that was a good guy. So the good guys come, and when they come, they can manipulate space, time, matter, and energy too. So this is why I think that these are interdimensional entities, not extraterrestrial. And, you know, the whole idea of plurality of the worlds, is there life out there? And frankly, we don't know where we are or what this is in it. Prophetic literature tells us that God is going to roll this whole thing up like a scroll and create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, is that allegory or is that reality? And maybe we're in some sort of a holographic type situation. So, I mean, it really gets the I think the deeper we go, the more we realize that we don't know.
That's true. We're going to come back in a moment with L.A. Marzulli and take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast. So get ready. His website is his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The film that we have a link to on coasttocoastam.com is called Disclosure, The Coming Great Deception, and The Luciferian Endgame. Next hour, we're going to talk about the grieving process with Sandra Champlain, so get ready for that. I'm looking forward to that. He's an incredible person. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with L.A. Marzulli, our final segment with him, taking your phone calls. Ken is truck driving in Colorado. Welcome to the program. Hi, Ken.
Hey, George. I am so glad you took my call.
Perfect.
George, God bless you for the work you did. I appreciate you.
Well, thank
very much.
You. Thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, something that Mr. Marzulli said while earlier sparked it in me when he talked about the man that found the Lord and they left him alone.
Right.
Now, I haven't mentioned this to a lot of people. When I was a kid growing up in Chicago, I believe that I had been abducted several times. One time on vacation in Southern Illinois, I know I was because I had 3 hours of time lost. I was having all these problems, and when I found the Lord, it stopped. I haven't had any problems since then.
Hmm.
And when he said that, it sparked it in me. Well, I kind of have a theory I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
You know, in the Bible, it tells you that you can do as the Lord did. You have those powers within you. And I believe when you find the Lord, if you can turn to that, your power is stronger than theirs, and they know it. And that's why they'll leave you alone. The theory goes into a lot of detail that we probably don't have time for now, but it just everybody has this power. I honestly believe it. And this power within you, like I said, they know. They know if you find that power, there's nothing they can do to you.
I think he's right, L.A.
Well, I would certainly concur to a point. I mean, let me put it to you this way, that with Al, the moment he came across the line, the abduction stopped, because there is a power that is greater than theirs. And this is why, if I'm right, and I believe I am right, otherwise I wouldn't be making movies and talking about this for, you know, decades after decades. Something is going on here. If these are interdimensional entities that are fallen beings that have a nefarious agenda, then there is a power that is greater than theirs. And we know that when Jesus walked the earth and someone was demonized or someone had leprosy, he could heal the leprosy and he could cast out the demon. And he shows this over and over and over again. And so when we believe on him who was sent, and we just believe, I mean, that's, and we confess that with our mouth and believe it in our heart, things begin to change. It happened to me 41 years ago. And it's not what people think. It's not religion. It's not monks with funny haircuts and stained glass windows and rosary beads and garments and all that. It's not that at all. It's a personal relationship with the God of the universe.
It's spirituality.
Yeah, it changes everything. It changes a person's life. Absolutely.
Let's go to Alexandria, Louisiana. Cornelius is with us. Hey, how you feeling, Cornelius? Feeling better?
Listen to L.A. L.A.'s already left. L.A., hey, I hear you made it back to L.A. And George, I'm doing fine. L.A., if you don't know what happened, my sugar in May was over 1,000. I almost died. And I spent a month in the hospital here in Alexandria, Louisiana. But what I wanted to tell you, L.A., and George and all the listeners, L.A., the next time you come to Poverty Point, come to Alexandria, Louisiana, and meet your number one fan. This is what I got.
Good to hear your voice,
guns and gold, man. The Bible Bulletin Beans Band is back. That Mark, the first caller you had, if he reads Mark and Revelation, he'll know what's going on and everything. L.A., like I was warning you about the rapture, if these Christians get in these ships and stuff, it'll be the grandest deception they'll ever see. And I want to say something about Thomas from La Jolla. Now, he was right about V and the event, but there was another V on NBC in, I think, the 80s, and it made the reptilian seem like the Nazis.
Right.
The Jews,
right, I remember that.
That were
right.
In the Holocaust, they recognized that these were entities were really disappearing. So we all need to get ready for this deception. I don't believe in the vaccine. My dad in December, L.A., and you may not know this, he died of COVID-19. He was a Korean War vet. Now, they say it was highly infectious and contagious. I never had any symptoms or anything. So I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for protecting me. And, George, if you can, you know, this is the Army's birthday. If you can play the Army song at the end of the show, that would be great. I know you're a Navy man, but it's the Army's day today. And that's it. I love you, L.A. and George.
All right, kid. Happy birthday, Army. Well, it is a great deception, L.A., isn't it?
Wait, say that again, George. I missed
it. It is a great deception.
Well, that's what I believe. I mean, I believe this is the coming great deception. It will change everything. People will believe a lie. When they show up, they will tell us that they created all life on this planet. They genetically manipulated early man. They started the world's religions. They started the world's earliest civilizations. They're about to enter and usher us into a golden age. And that's what they will say. They'll have free energy. They'll have this little chip, which is a DNA implant, which will change your DNA and allow you to live 300 to 500 years disease-free. And that's conjecture. Some of it's conjecture, but that's what I think is going to happen.
Indeed, indeed. And we play the military songs on Veterans Day, so a few more months we'll be doing it. A few more months. Next up, let's go to Craig in Vancouver, Canada. Welcome to the program. Hello, Craig. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks to also to Premier Networks, and just a little shout-out to WGNS Radio out of Tennessee.
Oh, perfect. You're picking us up there.
I had a comment, just a quick comment and a question about the Earth's magnetic field. It can be actually measured, and I guess they do know what the measurement is. In school, we learned about how two magnets repel each other. Last week, I found information about a Wilford guy, I can't remember his last name, who in the 50s swore that it was magnetics that were propelling these craft. The craft's traveling by magnetism. If they could recreate this same magnetism that the Earth has, that they might be able to just skip along on the magnetism field. And what about gravity? Would gravity affect the people inside? And that's my question.
Well, that's an interesting take, LA.
You know, it really is. It's probably beyond my pay grade, to quote someone, but it's Lazar talks about the propulsion system that he works on, and that's kind of sort of my default argument or my default guy I would go to with that question. Again, if you're bending space and time, you've conquered gravity. There is no gravity, so you're not being thrown up against the wall. There are no G forces. And I think magnetism certainly has some part to play in this whole thing.
It was a Canadian, by the way, who came up with that theory of magnetism back in the 50s.
Hmm.
Wilbert Smith was his name. Interesting. That's a long time ago.
Absolutely.
Ryan in Nevada. Hey, Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me on the air. I just wanted to say that I know how you guys feel about the Wuhan thing, George. It's kind of like coincidence that came out of there and all this. But what do you think about it's kind of coincidental that all that happened and we went into like shutdown and everybody kind of got closed down and everybody got paranoid and everything. And now they're letting all the UFO information out. And now supposedly we're supposed to go back to normal. But now everybody in society is coming out. And everybody's kind of like nervous and paranoid and weird. And we're also getting all this other information. And it's just very strange how all of these things are coming together at the same time. And I just wonder what you thought about. Like,
okay, and you're right. People are acting weird. I mean, look what's happening on planes these days, L.A. There's a story every other day about somebody going crazy on a plane.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. People are on edge. I mean, you can't lock down everybody and take our humanity away by wearing a mask, because that's when you wear a mask, you can't see someone's face, and that's how we identify as human beings. So, and then you social distance. I mean, those of us who travel in prophetic literature, like the late Chuck Missler, Bill Salus, Gary Stearman, Tom Horn, Russ Dizdar, and others who've been on this show before, you know them all by name. We're looking at this and we're stating that this is a precursor to the beast system. It's not the beast system, but it's certainly a precursor to it. And this is what the world faces when the Antichrist actually comes on the scene. And I think we're getting close.
I think so too, LA. I really do. So once you're done re-editing this film, what's next?
Part two. We're actually in post-production on it. You did a cameo on it, Tom. Dan Heiser did a little cameo, and thank you both for that. Nick Pope comes on. Nick Redford comes on. Bill Salus, Derek Gilbert, who was just on the show, Josh Peck, a whole host of people, Francisco Carrera in Portugal, who's head of Exopolitics. Very lengthy interview with him. Preston Dennett, another friend of Coast to Coast,
right,
is in this one. Of course, yours truly. I'll be the hosting it and moving things along. But this will be the disclosure part two. It will be free. We're asking for people to kind of pay it forward. And if you want to invest in it,
What I mean by that, if you believe in what we're doing, we're taking donations and people are donating. But the film will be for free. Why? Because this information, in my opinion, is just way too important. We've got to get it out. And that's why it's up on your site. And we hope and pray that people pass it forward. People need to understand that the phenomenon is real. It's not going away, and something is going on. And when you watch this film, you'll see what's going on. And there's something called UFO brain fog, which we talk about it, where people have an encounter, and then they can't really get their head around it. And, for instance, they'll say, we were speeding, but we weren't moving.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck does that mean? We were speeding, but we weren't moving.
Or they barely remember it.
That's the thing, right? It's blocked. It's blocked. And that's why I truly believe that there's a nefarious agenda happening here. And that's why we made the film, and that's why we're working on part two.
Let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Hi, L.A.
Hey, Joe.
You mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 9, it talks about a cherub, and it talks about six men, including a man clothed in linen, and they mark the people that they're not going to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they proceed to destroy the people that agreed with the things that were increasingly vile that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, not going into chapter 10 with the UFO part, but just about a cherub, that would be one question. And then that story you told about Diane Kelly, she brought someone else with her that might have been in her ballpark. But what do you think would have happened if she didn't reveal a deception? How far do you think she would have taken it had she not revealed the deception, and how, what was her motive if she did not, you know, if she continued?
Well, I think the motive is, it goes back to what you said in the elevator. They were supposed to meet on the ship. They were they're looking for hybrids. They're looking for breeding. And that's what the whole thing is about. So if she had, let's say Al and this woman had complete sexual relations, and she carries some sort of a hybrid child with her. That's the end game of all this. The Ezekiel passage that you're talking about is incredible, because we see that there's technology here. These two entities, call them angel, just means messenger. I don't like that term because it's so elusive. These two entities come down, and they have slaughter weapons with them. Now, what the heck? That's technology. What are those slaughter weapons? What's that little, the guy with the inkhorn making the marks on the people? I mean, we're looking at some strange, really weird supernatural stuff, and it's all in the guidebook of a supernatural. It's like right there.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. It's interesting times, L.A.
Absolutely.
Well, we make it. That's the $64,000 question.
We're going to make it, George. We're going to come through. And when he comes back, everything changes for the good.
What's the date? Nobody knows. No, Charlie in New Mexico, first-time caller. Let's get you in. Charlie, go ahead.
Hello, George, and hello to your guests. It's nice to talk to you, and happy late birthday. And hello, Cornelius from New Mexico.
Thank you.
Hey, George, I've got something for you. This is the third time this happened to me. I recently went to North Carolina, pulling a 16-foot flatbed trailer full of comic books to go sell. On the way back, George, I was going through Georgia, going into Alabama. On the side of a mountain, it was already getting dark. It was already dark. Side of a mountain, I was already tired, so I went straight through. I had not slept and started driving back. On the side of the mountain, it was like what I saw was an eyeball in a flame, a round flame, moving around. I thought maybe, since there's Native Americans around there, that they were having a light show. But, George, I was driving. I was trying to focus on my driving, and yet this eyeball seemed to be following me on the side of the mountain.
Did you ever hear of that, L.A., a floating eyeball?
Not a floating eyeball, but that's nothing surprises me at this point. And the stuff that's coming across my desk is, you know, people are seeing stuff in ways that we've never seen before. And it's just a pretty amazing story.
L.A., as we wrap things up once again, show people how they can watch your latest film.
Thank you so much, George. They can go to your site, Coast to Coast, right there on the front page, and there's links to the show, to the film. It's a little over an hour long. They can go to streaming.lamarzulli.net and watch it for free, or my website, LA Marzulli. It's an hour long. All we ask you to do, pass it forward. Tell your friends about it. It's that important.
L.A., thank you. How's everything on the home front for you, my friend? Things get better?
Everything is going good. Gigacrete.com. It is the home of the future. We will be rebuilding. I fly back out there July 1st, and we'll have the components there probably around the 7th, and I will send you pictures.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. He lost everything a year or so ago in that tragic wildfire up there in L.A. Just everything. Up next, we're going to talk about grieving on Coast to Coast AM.